Hi, this is Randy Eccles with NPR Illinois and Community Voices. We are joined today by Jeff Williams. And Jeff, thanks for joining us today. We've got a few questions for you for Community Voices. First one would be, I know Jeff Williams I've seen, Jeff Curtis Williams. What's your professional moniker?
You know, I mean, I guess with Jeff Curtis Williams, Jeff C. Williams, something in there, just because there was another artist, an artist named Jeff Williams, who's somewhat established. And so I guess right around the time when I started to get back into more like the visual art side of things and kind of transferring away from the stuff that I was doing with the band Annihilate, I started to kind of use the C or the Curtis in there a little bit more. So Jeff Curtis Williams, Jeff C. Williams, more or less as a separator, not like that I feel like it has to be there, you know.
But if you want the authentic stuff, look for Curtis in there.
Most Jeff Curtis, if you want the authentic stuff, you know, I mean, geez.
Well, Jeff, just for folks who don't know you very well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm from Springfield, Illinois, originally, you know, went to Illinois State University. After graduating, moved back here, did some design stuff in the area, but then was in a band that we kind of had messed around with some. This band Annihilate, you know, the letters NIL, the number 8. And, you know, we kind of started messing around playing shows. We knew not a lot of people necessarily were, into the style of music that we were doing at the time. It was the early 80s. And we were doing like sort of like this, punk rock, political, social, talking about social and political sort of topics somewhat. And then we got to, and I don't know who, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a guy who was at, when it was Sangamon State University, asked us if we wanted to open, there was this Rock Against Reagan tour. And this was, I guess it was like around 82 or 1983. And at that point, we were just playing in our basement for a couple of friends and stuff like that. But then, so this tour came through, Rock Against Reagan, and a band called MDC from San Francisco, which was definitely a very politically charged band. They changed their name, but sometimes they're called like considered like Millions of Dead Cops, stuff like that. So they, of course, then had, you know, with a name like that, they're going to have a, you know, it's going to be some stuff that goes along with it. Well, anyway, we played this Rock Against Reagan tour with them and like a couple of bands. And it was sort of an eye-opening thing because it was these people, you know, from the San Francisco area, and they were talking to us about this stuff. And we're playing right next to a fast food places there. And they just start going off about different ways to eat, different ways. I mean, just all this stuff that you weren't really considering that much, at least for me at the age. I was like pretty young yet. But it started to kind of impress me somewhat. Well, anyhow, sorry, jump ahead. After graduate from college, we started to get out and the band started to take off tour a lot more around the country. Kept Springfield as our home base. It was, you know, very, you know, cheap to live, but we could do Midwest tours, then go out to the East Coast, West Coast, and jump on to, you know, play with different bands that were well established at the time, and also go out with the bands that we really liked, a lot of the like punk rock and ska bands and stuff like that that we go out with. So it was kind of a crazy thing where it wasn't like necessarily set out to do that. I felt more I was going to be like a graphic designer, visual artist sort of a thing. But then this huge boom, this thing happened, and we kind of ended up doing that for most of the 90s, where that was all we did was tour with other bands and stuff, you know. So so then jump ahead like towards the point when we weren't going to tour full time anymore, where it was going to not be our livelihood. This is like in the late 90s. And at first, kind of didn't really even necessarily want to, didn't know if I wanted to play in well, your ego gets involved, I guess, is what the best way to put it, you know, and you think, oh, if I can't, if I'm not going to tour full time, like we were, and go out for a month, come home for a couple of weeks, go out for another month, play with the, I was like, I don't know if I really wanted to do that. But I think it was just ego that, you know, your mind, you're setting this certain feeling of how you want to play. And so we stopped for a while, which was kind of good, because I needed to also, it's like, oh, wow, I guess my resume looks like there's a huge gap in it. If I'm, you know, I've got to send this, get my resume together, because I knew I wanted to get back into like graphic design, doing design work. It looks like you just been messing about in a band, you know, people don't know me. So they just probably think I'm just, you know, we're just partying and having some good time, but we ran the business. We ran it like a small business. You know, I mean, we tried to make good moves about it. Everybody in the band was, you know, straight edge.
Well, for a lot of folks, that's living the dream, right?
It's living this dream, you know, sort of a thing. But then it's like, boom, okay, got to get, you know, potentially get a job that's more like a 9-to-5-ish sort of a job. I mean, there's other things you can do, but I was like, okay, I think I need to get back in here. So anyhow, got a job doing graphic design work, took some time off with the band, but then was able to get back into the visual, like getting back into painting, doing a lot of artwork and stuff like that again, which is what, when I first started off, that's what I always thought that was going to be the main thing that I did. Slowly transitioned into more of getting more involved in the community, the visual arts. Started to the Springfield Art Association, became a member there, a member of the pharmacy for like a long time, was the events coordinator there for like a few years. Then like about a little bit over a year ago, I wanted to kind of have a little bit more studio space. And at that point, there were no like open spots at the pharmacy for studio space. So I told the members, I was like, hey, I think I'm going to kind of look for like a little studio or something like that to where I can kind of paint more than just painting out of my house. I had a studio at the pharmacy's old location, but then we moved to a new place and I kind of moved everything back to my house. I gave up my spot. So as far as needing a studio. So at the time, like Christy Freeman, who has had a place called Christy Studios out at White Oaks Mall, she was kind of looking for a place. She has two younger kids, and it's hard to, let's say you've got a painting in your car, you've got these, you know, walking in and out of the mall, it's not necessarily the easiest thing if you've got two younger kids with you. You've got to kind of shut everything down. Well, anyhow, she was looking for a place, like maybe potentially a different place. And Joe Wallace, who's originally from Springfield, but had lived in Chicago for a long time and was really involved in a lot of, there's obviously a lot of different art sub-communities in Chicago area, but he was up there. He had moved back, and so he was looking for a space. And it sort of just worked out where we got this house over on MacArthur, and at first we're going to use it for strictly studio space, but then realized, well, maybe we can do this for also have a place where not only we can show art, but then have other people come in and show art. So we didn't really necessarily have like a spelled out like a game plan on what we were going to do with this in the first spot. But we were like, let's try to get members of the community who maybe they paint full time, maybe they paint a lot, maybe they don't paint that often, or and not just paint, obviously, you know, that makes sculptures or any kind of a creative thing that they do. Maybe we can have it where they come and they show while we show, but it's not like necessarily membership or having to pay fees or anything like that. We just wanted to have it open to anything from established artists to people who are, you know, emerging in high school, trying to also have it more of a open, representing more people that are, you know, there are more people that are out there than maybe just sometimes get represented in gallery setting. Some people just don't, you know, they don't feel like they want to like join certain, you know, join groups just because it's a group. Sometimes people don't want to be part of like that sort of a thing. So we just try to open it where people, we ask people to ask people if we don't know these particular people, and just have these little shows at this dim art house. And
that's the name, right?
Dim art house, D-I-M art house. We just, you know, dim. Some people ask us what that is. Does it really mean any necessarily thing? Not too bright, not too dark. It's kind of just in the middle there, dim, you know? So we just sort of, it's short, seems to, people ask questions about it. So it's kind of nice. And it seems to stick in people's head, but it's been kind of cool, you know, reaching out to different artists from the immediate area, but then also from different parts of the Midwest and have them come through. And obviously all galleries do this, but we try to do it where it's pretty low key. People, like I said, there's no contracts to sign. There's no membership, no fees or anything like that. It's just like, if we're going to have a show and we're going to show some of our art, we might as well invite some other people, have a sense of community, especially then, of course, COVID hit like early this year. And so we're like, well, we got to do these shows virtually, and we can't necessarily have like big, like opening sort of situations. At least we didn't feel like we wanted to do that, but we'll still have like, after we do the virtual shows, we can have like small groups of people. They come together. We let them come through. I'll like sit on the porch, kind of have stuff set up where I can paint. Christy does the same. Joe might do the same. And then they can kind of come in, explore the space amongst either that's a single person or a small group, but they can then explore the space on their own. And it's kind of been nice like that, because people will be, the house isn't that big and we can only have so much artwork, but people end up exploring in there for quite a while. You know, they can get caught up or lost in the space, really move from piece to piece. It's their own little space at the time. And then the next group kind of comes in and it kind of like repeats like that. But it's been cool. You know, we've had the Lieutenant Governor, Juliana Stratton. She's come by, her and her husband, you know, kind of got to know them. Is super, super cool like that. You know, they were in there, her and Juliana and Brian, or her husband, they were in for like quite a while. It wasn't like a photo op. I mean, you know, they were there just to check out the art, had lots of questions and stuff. I let them explore. Like I said, I was just on the porch, let them explore inside. It was super, super cool. Got to know them pretty well. So yeah, it's been cool. It's been nice like that.
So the virtual, you know, COVID-related virtual tour is working.
It's been working. Yeah, it's been cool. The main thing is just on the technical side is if all of a sudden it glitches out in the middle, if you're having like a live feed and it just glitches out and you're like, well, okay, well, there goes that. And you kind of have to restart it. Fortunately, and also one thing, we take turns. Like Christy will kind of more or less be in charge of setting up the show. Then Joe will set up a show. Then I will set up a show. So each time it's kind of got a little bit different, potentially different take, and also try to do sort of what could be considered sort of more niche topics. Maybe they might be a little more specific than sometimes you might get. Like the demo project was like really Allison Locker. You know, they really did a good job there with kind of having more what would be, but you know, it's peripheral, the peripheral show that's a niche show, you know what I mean? Towards kind of trying to do that sort of a little, I mean, obviously a different approach, but that really liked the way they were doing the things there. And also, you know, I loved when being at the pharmacy and still, you know, still at the Springfield Art Association and stuff. It's just kind of cool because it can be different dynamics that serve different purposes that might overlap as far as like in the art or creative sort of a thing. But they all serve, you know, they all have different ways that they cater to the community.
Americanundrum is the virtual show coming to the Dim Art House in Springfield Saturday, October 24th, 3 to 4 p.m. on Facebook Live. Find more of Jeff C. Williams' work and the IGPA's COVID blogging project, along with the Dana Thomas House's virtual community tour, all at nprillinois.org. For B. Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 919 UIS.